I'm very happy now to welcome Doug Blush and Lisa Klein. They are co-writers and directors of the documentary film Of Two Minds, and it's screening at 7:30 this coming Wednesday, the 14th of August. It's a one-night-only event. Director Doug Blush will be there in person. It's a special event benefiting the CCA. There's a reception at 6:30. The film starts at 7:30. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thank you so much.
So this is a film about bipolar illness, and it features not doctors and experts, but actually the people themselves, their families, their partners. How did you two come to make the film?
Actually, the genesis of it was my sister who had bipolar disorder, and it was something that was confusing to me as her younger sister. I didn't really know what it was at all. And as we learned more and more about it, I realized that the stigma attached to it was ridiculous. I mean, it just didn't make any sense to me that, you know, if you call into work, if you're diabetic and say, you know, I need to up my insulin, oh, it's okay, just stay home. But if you call in because you're feeling depressed, it's, come on, buck up, get in here, things like that. And as we started making films, I realized that this was something that I knew that I wanted to do, and I just wasn't sure how we were going to do it. And in May of 2008, I was reading the New York Times, and there was an article about Liz Spickle, who had bipolar disorder and was an advocate, and about Mad Pride and all this stuff. And literally, it was like one of those moments where, okay, if we can get her, we're doing this movie. She sounds perfect. And it just sort of spiraled from there.
It's interesting because I was wondering as I was watching it to what extent the stigma of having mental illness really kept people from talking about it. And then other people seem really happy to be out, so to speak, about their experience.
I think that's exactly it, which I think the stigma of it is really what prevented us probably in a way from getting the teachers and the doctors and the lawyers. And, you know, there are certain people, the investment bankers, people who are at risk of losing their jobs, losing their livelihoods. Whereas, I mean, one comment that we've had is there are a lot of artistic people, there are a lot of people. Somebody like Terry Chaney, who was in it, she was an attorney, a high-powered attorney in L.A., and she never would have been able to speak about it. And she decided to quit and become a writer, and that's exactly what she did. And she was then able to talk about it and come out, and that was sort of her therapy almost in a way. But you're exactly right. I mean, getting people to talk, and, you know, after fearing that they're going to, you know, lose everything was, you know, that was something. But once we started, you know, talking to people, and then it became, how are we going to narrow this down? Because we interviewed probably close to 50, 60 people. So it was really just finding the right ones. And it was really, the hardest part was really having to lose some people because there were some incredible stories. And some of them are on the DVD extras.
Yeah, right. We're really excited about that DVD because we were able to put an extra hour of stuff on there to really expand the conversation. So that's the miracle of DVD, is you get to put all the stuff you couldn't fit in the actual film.
It's interesting that a lot of the people that you chose for the film are creative, expressive types of people. So not only are they really articulate about their experience, but also I suppose they have the freedom, because they're not in institutions like being a high-powered lawyer, to say what's on their mind.
They are now. I mean,
yeah,
somebody
exactly.
Like Carl, who was an architect, and you know, he wouldn't have been able to before, but now he almost has nothing to lose. He's out there. And Sherry actually came out in the film, the one who is the men's groomer. She's the stylist, and she works with a lot of sort of high-powered people, and she was really concerned. But she does work in L.A. She works, you know, so it's not like, you know, there aren't people here who would be understanding and possibly going through things themselves.
A recurring theme or word in the film is the idea of normal. And one does, while watching the film, kind of question what normal means, whether there is such a thing as normal in the first place, or whether there's just a wide range of experience and expression.
Yeah, I think that's a big theme with both the film and I think where we're kind of beginning to go in this country with the understanding of mental illness and with diagnosis is that, you know, things are being described more and more as spectrums and there's degrees, which I think is very healthy because now people are starting to understand that we're all dealing with, there's one advocate in the film who says, we're all wrestling with issues, you know. And that I think that allows us all to relate a lot better to you know, the different conditions that are out there and to consider it, you know, there is no normal. What is normal? What is a baseline? There really isn't an absolute, you know. And I think that was the problem for a long time is there was this wall drawn between, oh, everybody is normal over here and this is aberrant. And I think that's part of what we're doing with the film is we're trying to open up the understanding of what is human condition, you know.
Yeah, I mean, even Terry Chaney says, God, I would just like to get into a normal person's head for, you know, one day.
Right.
And I don't think anybody, in any context, I think normal is a word that I can't believe that anybody really understands what that means.
It's limiting.
It reminds me of, like, being in college and taking an abnormal psychology class, and you see yourself in every single, you know, like...
You're right. Absolutely. Believe me. I mean, it's not like when you know, I was talking to people, it's like I felt like, wow, I'm the normal one. And just believe me, you know, over the course of 3.5 years of shooting or whatever, I mean, we're all on the spectrum somewhere, I think.
There's a great theory out there that's been floated by several experts and advocates that, you know, bipolar specifically because of the extreme highs and the sort of the flashes of brilliance and insight that have inspired, you know, artists and inventors and various other things, that there's some degree of we might still be living in caves if it weren't for conditions like bipolar. You know, it's those great leaps forward. Can sometimes be traced back to you know, where do those great jumps in mental capacity come from? Well, you know, that might be part of it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the intense creativity that is experienced by these people when they're on the manic side of manic depression is something that, and I've seen this in not only in your film but in real life, people don't want to lose that. They don't want it medicated out of them.
Right, and there are so many theories on that. Like Kay Redfield Jamison has a book called Touch with Fire, which talks about the correlation between mania and creativity. And then there are some psychiatrists who say, you know what, you might have a creative person, you might have a non-creative person. You know, so that is a theory that has certainly been bandied about. And there are people also who think, or even Liz said it in the movie, it's like, oh, my God, I just wrote so much poetry. And at that moment of mania, I thought it was brilliant. And then I would read it the next day, and it's like, oh, my God. So it depends. I think the idea of mania is one that is it can also take on, you know, just such extremes of anxiety and shopping sprees and doing things that you wouldn't ordinarily do, whereas something like hypomania, where it's almost in between, that's sort of the sweet spot. That's when everything is okay and you're not, you know, the affect isn't like, oh, my God, she's crazy. You know, it's more like, wow, life is really, really good. And why would I want to take a pill to reduce this? And, you know, as a result, you may have an extreme high and an extreme low, and, you know, it's really hard to balance at that point.
Do you have a sense... And I know this documentary wasn't about medical research, but it seems that there's an awful lot of this illness, bipolar illness. Do you have a sense of why that is? Is that just the way it is everywhere? Is it a thing that's particular to the urban, civilized United States? Do we know what's going on?
I think there's a lot of overdiagnosis. Doug, do you want to comment on this first?
Yeah, I think part of that is it's sort of like how, you know, suddenly there are many more people who apparently there are a lot more gays in culture. It's because people are coming out. You know, people are more visible. They're braver about talking about things. that originally were considered taboo by society. I think that's, you know, it's actually a good sign that, that people are more open and more able to talk about this. So I think there has always been a fundamental amount of what you might call a diagnosable condition, but you know, now we're admitting it to each other more, and it's not something that's kept in the closet, you know.
It's one of those things. I mean, there are so many theories, just, you know, like, are there more suicide bombers now than there ever were, or are we just seeing them more? Is there more autism now, or do we now have a label for it? So it's so hard to say, because we actually did talk to a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists, and they are peppered throughout the film, because we, you know, that is certainly a part of it, and there are a lot of them on the DVD extras, too. But I think... Yeah, that is really, really hard to say, and it's a great question because, you know, there are people, even while we were doing the film, it's like, wow, you know, bipolar is this, the new black. You know, it's kind of like this almost, you know, trendy thing, which it clearly is not. But there also is the idea of there are a lot of people who need to label something, and they need to have a pill for it, and they need to, you know, so there is kind of that aspect of it, too. It's just needing to know, and we're certainly in an information age, you know, where we need to kind of tag everything and know what it all means.
Well, there's also the idea that Liz puts forward in the film that it's activated by trauma. That was her own experience. And there's also the reality that we're living, many of us are living in extremely unstable situations, unstable in terms of family and finances and work and location and all of that stuff. And so if you have a tendency toward instability, modern life could so easily exacerbate that.
Absolutely. I think that could certainly play into it, you know, as well. I mean, the idea of the trauma, because we, you know, most of the people in the film had some sort of trauma, not everybody. Not my sister, but it is something that, you know, again, as Liz said, it wasn't the cause because there's a predisposition, but it can be a tipping point for sure.
We're talking about the film Of Two Minds. I would imagine that this film would be really empowering to the people and their families who are dealing with bipolar illness. What kind of feedback have you gotten from audiences so far?
Oh, that's been the real joy of taking this film out, especially to audiences and doing live panels and Q&As, is that at every single screening, I mean, it's pretty much universal, people afterwards and even during the Q&As, someone will be emboldened enough to actually come out about their struggles, their condition, where they've never told anybody before. And we've heard it again and again, like in this screening, I saw myself on the screen is what we get a lot of times. It's the first time anybody has ever shown me what my life looks like, which is that's just the best thing we can hear. There was a reporter in Toronto who's a media reporter for the Toronto Star who actually came out in his column when he was reviewing the film. He said, this is a review that is going to be partially about me, too. And he actually talked about his own condition that he had never publicly admitted before. So that's really been just an incredible element of just bringing this film out.
And such a huge part of the reason why we made it. And you know, we just did NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness, and the people who came up after, I mean, that was our core, even though we, you know, it's a film we want everybody to see, and we do feel that if you know almost nothing about bipolar disorder, it's just a sort of gain the empathy and the understanding, it's a great thing. But clearly the people who are dealing with it and their families, and we had this 15-year-old girl come up to us and say, this is the first time anybody has ever captured what I'm feeling, and she was crying, and that kind of stuff is like, yeah, this is why we did it. And just one really quick thing, when we were in Napa Valley at the film festival, this guy came up to us before the movie and said, you know, I'm seeing this movie because my best friend is dealing with bipolar disorder, and I really want to see it. I want to see what he's going through. Movie ended. He came up afterward, and he said, the person is me, and I just was never able to talk about it. And Doug and I looked at each other like, oh, my God. I mean, this is, yeah, I just got chills thinking about him, actually.
The film is called Of Two Minds, and Doug Blush and Lisa Klein are the co-writers and directors of this film. It's screening at 7:30 this coming Wednesday, the 14th of August, one night only. And will you both be there or just Doug?
I wish.
We divide up the duties. Yeah, the Santa Fe is one of those where we had to draw straws almost. We trade off going to different directions a lot of times because we do tour the film around a lot. But the nice thing about the Santa Fe screening is we'll have a panel with two psychiatrists joining us to discuss afterwards. So that'll make it a really extended kind of amazing night of talking about all kinds of issues beyond the film.
Yeah, and so, I think that's really important, particularly when, you know, people do have a lot of questions, and as knowledgeable as we may think we are, no. So, I mean, it is really, it's really important to have a psychiatrist, a psychologist, somebody who's, you know, in the trenches and really, you know, can answer a lot of those questions, too.
So the reception is at 6:30, the film is at 7:30, panel discussion after that, Doug Blush in person. And also, people can go to the website oftwomindsmovie.com. Doug Blush and Lisa Klein, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Can't wait to see everybody in Santa Fe.